Your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be dealing in verse 5. But to read just verse 5 seems jumping in the middle of a thought, and it is. So let's go back to verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body, in the bond of peace. There's one body. One Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So as we've come to verse 5, we've dealt with last week one Lord. And so this week we want to consider the one faith. What is the one faith? Well, men have faith in a lot of different things. Is that the kind of faith he's talking about here? You see, the faith he's talking about here, there's a vast difference between it and the faith that men have a lot of faith in. For instance, I don't have much faith in man-made objects that are supposed to suspend us up over things. As the gondola up there at Disney this past week. And this was just new and working perfect. But it stranded couple hundred customers up there in the gondolas in heat, high heat, no air conditioning. It just shut down. And there with the fire department rescuing people out of those gondolas who've been in there hours, no water with them. You don't find me up there on a gondola. I won't do it. I've seen in the news and read reports of this glass bridge that they built clear across this big gorge over there in China. No, I don't live in China, but I wouldn't want to visit over there to go across on that. I'm not going across on that bridge. I don't get on bridges across high heights like that. I don't trust. I have problems driving across a bridge. Several years ago, we were in West Virginia, family vacation, and this bridge over the Blue River Gorge there, 2,700 feet down or something like that, and driving over in a car. I was uneasy driving over it. Those bridges fail. They collapse. But men exercise faith in it and all that. Brother Ron's exercising faith right now. You, in fact, you all are. Sitting in those pews. Nice, comfortable pews.
Chairs haven't broken.
Yeah. And they haven't broken. How old are they? I don't know. Probably older than Brother Ron, probably. Oh, nice theater seats.
Not quite, but almost.
Yeah. See, we exercise faith in different things. Is this the kind of faith he's talking about? No. He's talking about saving faith.
Yes.
There's only one kind of faith. It is an experimental faith. That is, we have an experience in the one Lord. Everyone here saved had an experience. They can go back to that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's no other salvation. There's none other than Jesus. And faith, that is being fully persuaded that he is so. In his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And this faith that we're talking about, this faith that is so sure, this faith that has caused our forefathers to give their lives for Jesus Christ, because they would not renounce Jesus Christ. Comes by grace.
Amen.
Comes by grace. It is a gift. That's grace. We have a verse that we, two verses that we looked at many months ago. Over a year ago now. Chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, and probably most of us here can quote it. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. That is, faith is the gift of God. This kind of faith, this faith that saves, comes by grace. It is given to us by God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In case you didn't know what the gift of God was, it's not of works. No works, zero. Whatsoever. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, in verses 6 through 9, that tells us that it is of grace also. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What's he talking about? This into the grace of Christ. What's he talking about? He's talking about faith. The faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. It's the grace of Christ given to us. Which is not another gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What is he talking about? He's talking about if any other man preaches anything else unto you except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that he died according to the Scriptures, was buried according to the Scriptures, and rose again according to the Scriptures, and was seen of brethren after his resurrection. You must have faith in that. And if anyone preaches anything other than that, faith in that, which is by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's preaching another gospel. And let him be accursed. This, which we're talking about, this faith, it is in that which is not seen. I might look this pew over, inspect it over pretty good, and yeah, it looks good. Couldn't say. I got faith in it. I'll sit down on it. Well, that's seen. That's not real faith. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. We're talking about that faith which is not seen. It's in that which is not seen. Another favorite passage of Scripture that we love and adore, and it helps us to understand faith a little bit. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. Faith is the concrete. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. You see? We hope, we have this hope fully expecting to because of faith. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. That is, our faith and our hope is in that which we do not see. Second, well, Paul said this to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wow. The just shall live by faith. In that accord, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 18, which is kind of a cross-reference with Hebrews 11 1, he said this in 4, in verse 18. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, what did he say in Romans 1:17? We live by faith. The just, those who have been justified, those who have been made just before God, they live by faith. In what? Things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and whole house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Oh, we don't see it, but we know it's there. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, all things which we've not seen. You have confidence in it? Therefore, we are always confident. We have faith. Amen. We're confident. Knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we're home right now in this fleshly body. Brother Ron, you're at home in this fleshly body. Amen. He's still got a work for you. We are absent, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, trusting in one in whom we have not seen, but expecting someday to see Him and all the blessings that are laid up in heaven, which we've not seen, that await for us. So, He says to us in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, in verse 8, whom having not seen, Jesus Christ, whom you've not seen, ye love. You love Him?
Amen.
Have you seen Him? Well, the world would say, well, then how do you know you love Him? Well, I can't explain it other than it's what God did. It's what God did here in giving me faith. You see, faith to believe Him. Faith to trust in Him. Faith to love Him. And love Him dearly. You see, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now we see Him not, yet believing, having faith, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We rejoice when we think of His coming again. We rejoice when we think of our home going, whether it be in death or whether it be by His coming again. We rejoice because we know that we're going to see Him face to face. You see, we've not seen it. We've not seen Him. But we know it so. We know we're going to. Oh, we're looking forward to that day. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. If you're hoping for things that you see, he says that's not hope. The kind of hope that he's talking about saves. And that kind of, what he's talking about is that kind of hope saves our life. Because we have real faith, we have this hope, and because we have real faith, we have this hope, we purify our lives. Living by faith. Living by faith. Living by faith. Continue reading. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You don't have to hope for it. You see it. I don't have to hope for pews here in this congregation because I can see them. They're here. You know? Well, I have a hope to see some improvements done. And I expect, according to God's will and purpose, that those improvements will come to pass. But nonetheless, that's in His hands. whether it does or not. Verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for. See, he's talking about a hope that expects. A hope that is confident in that expectation. I don't hope I'm going to see. I know. In other words, I can say, as Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. You see, that's what he's talking about. That kind of faith, that kind of hope. What it produces in our life. Now this faith, we've already hinted at it. We've already not hinted, only hinted at it. We've already said it. This faith is its object is Jesus Christ. If your faith has some other object, if your faith is only as a fire escape from hell, you better question whether you have real faith. Amen. See, the object of true saving faith is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, fire escape from hell is a fringe benefit of that faith that comes by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, but if that's the only faith you have is a fire escape from hell, you probably don't have real faith. You see? Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and very familiar portion of Scripture. In fact, all these Scriptures ought to be very familiar to us. And verse 22 said, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's in His substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary that we receive justification. That was the propitiation. That was that which satisfied the wrath of Almighty God on my behalf. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Faith of Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ. You see, chapter 3, verse 22. Very similar. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. How does the promise come to us? By faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, to them who have faith. This real faith, this saving faith. The faith in the object of that which we see not. in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 1 through 6, he gives us the summary of the gospel. We've already somewhat covered it for you. He said, though I speak with the... Chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, wherein also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. This gospel, which preaches the faith of Jesus Christ. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying faith in this which I'm going to declare, which I have declared unto you, and he's rehearsing it with. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You can just add according to the Scriptures to each one of those then. That's what he's saying, in essence. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. It just gives testimony of the fact that Jesus Christ did resurrect from the grave. They saw him die. They saw him placed in the tomb. Some of them saw the empty tomb. But then all these saw the risen Lord, the risen Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 4. And I know that most of this sounds foundational to us. But let me tell you, you go outside of these walls, it's not foundational. To many folks who profess to be religious, some profess to be saved. You see, verse 4 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. Preach another Jesus. You must preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Crucified. Shed his blood. Body was ripped apart, broken, torn for sinners. So it's in that which is not seen, which takes in Jesus Christ. Its object is Jesus Christ. It is the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, I want that kind of faith. I want that kind of belief. I want that kind of faith. If you look with me here at verse 16 of the chapter, it says, therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace. You see, he's talking about a faith that's not common to man. He's talking about a faith which is in that which is not seen. And that faith only comes by grace, he said. To the end, the promise might be sure to all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If you have this kind of faith that we're talking about today, if you have this kind of faith, then Abraham's your father. Amen. You see. Because God set him forth to be the father of faith. It is our faith. If you have this faith, it's your faith. It's our faith, as is referred to in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10. In verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. All you out there with this like faith, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And listen, he's talking about you that would stray from living a life of faith, don't do it. Hold fast onto your profession. Amen. Your profession of faith. To the newest converts, I would say today, hold fast your profession of faith. To the middle-aged converts today, I would say, hold fast your profession of faith. To the older converts today, I would say, hold fast your profession of faith. Boy, somehow these messages just kind of work. I mean, we were just talking about very subject this afternoon, and some of our kids that grow up in this teaching and this faith, make professions of faith, are baptized in the church, become church members, and then we send them off to college and the universities, and we don't see them in church again. They didn't hold fast their profession. And it just may be that they're telling us by not holding fast their profession that it wasn't a real experience with Jesus Christ. But then again, it may be a real experience. And it may take several years before the Lord says, that's enough, and brings them back. You see. You know, just got off the subject a little bit. Hold fast our profession of faith. Profession of our faith. In the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you have real faith, if you have true faith, it overcomes the world. That lives, it lives above the things of the world. Our focus, our attention, our desire, our things are set on things above, not on things on the earth. You see. So it is our faith. Oh, and Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of this faith. He tells us in Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 2, another very familiar portion of Scripture, looking unto Jesus, the author, the begetter of our faith. John 17, and I think it's verse 2, Jesus says he's given eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. He gave eternal life. He's the begetter of that faith. And he will be the finisher. He will be the one who brings it to completion in him. You see, it's not complete now. We have this hope. We know it's going to be complete one day when we stand there in his presence. Say, ah, my Savior, my Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. I was not worthy. I hated you. I was an enemy. But you shed your blood for me. And you gave me faith. You gave me eternal life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. When I was an enemy, a sinner, it was a joy for him to go to the cross and die for me, because he could look beyond to the saving of my soul, the redeeming of my soul, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the Father. His work is not done, is completed. That signifies a completed work as far as salvation. But he's there, and he's, because he's completed the work, he's making intercession constantly on my behalf. First John says he's our advocate with the Father. Peter said this faith, this saving faith, the faith that we're talking about, the one faith that we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, is like precious faith. All of us who have this faith, we ought to realize, if we don't, do you realize the preciousness of this faith? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a precious faith. If you have it, when you've got something precious, what do? You guard it with all you've got, don't you? You keep it someplace safe. You don't want nobody to take it away. Well, nobody's going to take this faith away. It's precious. It's more valuable than what? Silver and gold. All the things of earth are not compared to be compared to this faith. Oh, it's precious faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you. You here today, and I trust most of you, maybe the younger ones know, you've made professions of faith. Do you have this faith? Do you have this faith that we've talked about this afternoon? Do you have this faith that we live by faith? We sang the song, Living by Faith. Oh, it's a precious life. It's a precious faith. Amen. And it's a glorious life in Christ Jesus. I can honestly say there's no greater life than being in Christ Jesus and knowing that you're in Christ Jesus. You see, close with this. Therefore, because of the one faith, therefore, there ought to be unity in the body of Christ. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer.